Hello and welcome to Season 10, Episode 7 of NYPD Blue, DOS Boots. This is NYPD Blue Balls. We're talking about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And I would suggest you watch Season 10, Episode 7, DOS Boots, before listening to this podcast about DOS Boots, because it is a commentary episode. We are watching the episode as we're talking about it. It'll make more sense to listen to if you've seen the episode. Now, unfortunately, it is not available on any major streaming service. I believe you could buy it on Amazon. I think there are some episodes on YouTube for free, and there are some less than legal means, which I would never suggest. I know that in America they have the DVDs, but those are getting up there in price. So I don't know how, but hopefully we will get NYPD Blue back on a major streaming platform soon. Either way, hope you enjoy this episode. Apologies for the technical difficulties and the dog. Talk to you at the end. Hello,
hey,
everybody.
Steve Gutenberg.
Oh, no.
Welcome to Season 10, Episode 7, DOS Boots. And we're currently watching the previously on NYPD Blue, which is just reminding us that Connie now has her dead sister's baby.
That's the way to put it.
I mean, it's just the truth. Sister showed up. I'm in an abusive relationship and I'm pregnant. A couple weeks later, Connie's got a baby.
Wasn't that a early 2000 rock song?
Connie's got a baby? This episode starts with one of Kyle's favorite characters, Theo Sipowicz, who doesn't have his shoes on because he wants to see Connie. Make it make sense. He's like, I don't feel well. Maybe Connie could come out and hang out with me. Which makes me wonder, has that ever happened?
I don't think he knows how to tie his shoes. I don't think he knows how to put shoes on, personally. But that's a different conversation.
This whole scene is just to set up that Theo is like, I miss Connie. And his dad, he's like, she has a baby now. And he's like, I don't care. I'm a child.
I mean, they didn't really prepare him for it. It was just like all of a sudden. I mean, he doesn't know what's going on. And just by saying, well, she has a baby now, he doesn't get it, you know?
And much like, oh, boss showed up in his important meeting suit. But he says he has an important lunch to get to today. And Connie is acting like Sipowicz does about everything, and everybody finds it way out of line, even though Sipowicz would be doing the same exact thing
about his fish.
Like two seasons ago, and everybody would just deal with it.
No, he did that shit about fish, and it was fine. She's doing this about human life, and it's like, this bitch needs to relax.
You know, this woman who's never had a kid and is now all of a sudden has a kid who's probably addicted to meth.
The kid or Connie?
The kid.
Mm. Got that fetal meth syndrome.
Yeah.
But yeah, even Sipowicz is like, Jesus, could she get it together? It's like, dude, if you can't find your belt, you fucking yell at somebody. What is this one? Oh, I think it's a dump job. Body dumped in a vacant lot. And it also...
Paul Gosselaar came out of that coffee room like he was furious with somebody. Right? Like, his face looked like he was furious.
And... this scene has a moment with Sipowicz that I would like to highlight as it relates to the rest of the episode, which is they're looking at this dead woman tied up in an empty lot, and they're like, these are really expensive boots, and she has a student ID to the Fashion Institute of Technology, and Sipowicz goes, she's a dead whore. Just speaks over them and says, it's a dead whore. And Connie's like, wow, he's a big cuddly teddy bear. And it's like,
you fuck him. Like, what? Like, what are we talking about? Don't pretend like you're not, like, touching his dick later. Like, get out of here. Well, not recently because of the kid, but, like,
don't pretend you're not touching his dick later is what Kyle says. This is NYPD Blue Balls. We're over the credits now. I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever.
I'm over the credits, too. They're pretty...
NYPD Blue, and this is season 10, episode 7, DOS Boots. And
why do you say it like that?
DOS Boots?
No, there's a weird pause in between. You go like, this is how you're like talking normal. You're like, oh, we're here with Steve and Jenny talking about NYPD Blue Balls, the episode DOS Boots. And when we are over there about that night.
Yeah, I'm putting a little French. I'm putting a little German.
Why don't you French your ass off on the window, dude?
Hi.
Throw it. Hello. Throw it.
I didn't know I was
sorry,
part of
echoes
it.
Here. Throw it. Throw it. Throw it. That's what I feel like his internal brain is all the time. Throw it. 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 Throw it,
so
grab it, throw it, grab it.
Jones and Medavoy get a dead woman in a laundry room of a building. Looks like a homicide and rape. And the owner is being real weird about walking over there. And what was it? He says something I can't remember. It's not that important anyway.
His haircut's bitching, though. He looks like a beetle.
He does look like a beetle. He looks like...
Or he looks like... You know whose haircut that is? That's the super from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
The guy... that's what he looks like a little bit.
His hair looks...
You pay me now.
His hair looks like a guy who should get his fucking haircut. You know who he looks like? He looks like Will from Stranger Things.
Which one's, I don't know which one's Will.
The bowl cut kid.
So she's a friend of the dead whore.
Allegedly.
Slash fashion student. You can be both.
And Sipowicz immediately.
She could be something else. She could be three things. We don't know yet. Story's just getting started.
She could also be vegan.
Credits are still rolling. No, you would have heard about it.
But Sipowicz, this is her friend from the college, and Sipowicz is like, yo, so she been hooking?
Yo, your friend a whore?
And she gets upset, obviously. And
wouldn't you, though?
Yeah.
Like, even as a dude, like, if someone brought you in and was like, hey, your friend's dead.
I'd be like, wow.
How long has he been a whore?
Well, I'd be upset. But he says, yeah, you don't see a lot of women in knee-high boots and mini skirts who aren't whoring. And she's like, what the fuck, dude? She has every right to say what she's saying right now.
And MPG's just as much to blame. Like, he could easily be like, hey, Andy, I think we should stop calling this girl a whore.
Hey, Andy, you know. But she says, I guess all assholes or every man who wears short sleeve shirts and a ugly tie is an asshole.
Sipowicz would have said that like 7 years ago.
Oh, 100%.
That's a Sipowicz comeback.
We're going to lunch with who? Speaking of characters that we just introduce you to that are somehow important.
He, up until this, I think I remember the first time watching, I didn't even know he had a wife.
Yeah, no.
They
none
don't
of us
talk
do.
About it at all. Like the not old, even like a small little hint drop.
They just mentioned that he was a rock star in narcotics, and he was undercover for a while.
How can you be a rock star in narcotics? Well, we'll talk about it later.
Well, we can talk about it right now. It gets mentioned right now.
Okay, yeah. How can you be a rock star in narcotics when your wife is
a cokehead?
I think it's more than that. I think it's crack.
Well, it's definitely coke, because that's what they talk about in this episode.
Well, okay, fair. You're right. We'll talk more about
it later. I think it's...
If there's a break, and you can edit this out if you want, I think she's shooting up in between her toes at some point. That's not cocaine.
that's not cocaine.
As far as I think, I don't think you can shoot. I don't think cocaine does that.
I don't know a lot about drugs, but if you're going in between them toes, it ain't cocaine. But yeah, this is one of those scenes where you're like, this is all already happened.
Like, exactly. Like, and you were undercover for that long that you had that other Hispanic dude mad at you like that.
So you, yeah, what?
Yeah, remember, he was so undercover and part of a gang that, like, that guy was so mad because he thought they were, like, brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And he never mentioned his wife. Like, how long were you with her? Like, what's up?
He also had a wife long enough that she said, at the end of this conversation, she says, look, it ended terribly, but you can't tell me that those weren't the best 5 years of your life. So they were together, and it was good for about 5 years. Let's give it a year for it to deteriorate. How many years has it been since they've talked?
And how long did they know each other beforehand? Like, did they just meet each other, and then from that point to 5 years, that's how long?
Like,
or did they know each other a little bit before? Like,
how long was he undercover? There's a lot of questions this just immediately brings up. But it's so funny because he sits down for this lunch and he's like, what do you want? And she's like, oh, I just want to talk. And he's like, you are a cokehead and you fucked over the marriage. I had to get an ad in the paper to get a divorce. You just bailed. You've completely disappeared. And now you're back.
Yeah, because I think she's doing more than coke.
So what they're finding out about the DOA in the apartment is she used to be a tutor for adults.
That's what they call them?
I believe, because he said that she was like a lady with like a lot of boyfriends. That's what the guy who owns the building says. Mm-hmm. Then they find out she's actually tutoring like adults that are trying to get like GEDs and I think to like learn English. I think that's what's going on. And then this woman comes in because this woman is a pastor of a church and one of her flock is a dude who knows this woman. And she says, here's the deal. He's scared to come into police squad rooms or police stations because he was accused of rape and then convicted, and he has bad experiences with the police, so he's incredibly nervous.
There's a cord underneath him that he's going to pull, and it's either going to unplug something or cause a huge issue.
No, he's good. But this woman, in good faith, basically is like, I just want you to treat him right. That's all I want you to do. Treat the dude right because he is so scared to come in here. And they're like, why is it so fucking hard for him to just come in? Also, they find another dead prostitute in the same area that they found the first one.
It's pretty risque for a TV show.
And the big thing about this one is that Rita immediately sees her face and goes, oh yeah, big time pros. I don't remember her name, but she was always hooking. Hardcore pros. So she was really into like Madball and Terror and so now they have two women. Sipowicz assumes that the other one is a prostitute. They know this one is a prostitute. And this guy's a famous face. I don't know if you recognize him.
Yeah, I just don't remember from what. I feel like he was in other NYPD Blue episode before.
You are correct. His name is Salvatore Zerub. I don't know how to say his last name. But he was in earlier episodes of NYPD Blue. The one I remember the most is when there was like a huge group of like super alt-right guys and they murdered one of them.
Yes. Yeah, in the van, right?
Yeah.
Because it had the dude from Southland or whatever, the cop-looking dude.
Yeah. So he was one of the guys that was like keeping it cool until someone broke him, and then he's like, don't ask me, ask this guy.
Yeah, he was he was trying to act tough in the beginning, slash suave. Like, yeah. He was like the ladies' man. He was he was the face of the group.
Yeah, he was the face man. He's the Dennis. he's the Dennis of the crew. And that one guy who, like, could... The one guy who just kept repeating himself was the Charlie. The one that looked like he was, like, inbred.
Yeah.
That was the Charlie. He definitely couldn't read. So he essentially says, like, yeah, my uncle doesn't like to talk about me because I do have some priors and I'm banging all the women in here.
And, I mean, good for him.
And he says that...
No, I mean, not the priors, but...
And then he says one of the tutored guys was her boyfriend because he saw them kissing in the hallways.
That doesn't have to be a boyfriend.
Could just be a hallway kisser. Yeah. You kiss tons of people in the hallways.
I have?
That was the joke, yeah. So this also happens. She calls the babysitter, and then the boss passive-aggressively goes, I want everybody to pay attention to the case. And it's...
Were you gonna, like... Was there a thought there?
Well...
Have we not been recording?
Hello? I don't know what happened, but it didn't stop recording. Essentially, a very loud beeping destroyed my eardrums, and then it seemed like it wasn't recording, but it is. Hello?
He was just recently in an episode.
This guy?
Wasn't he the dad?
Seems like you're having issues.
So... You're talking about, you think this guy is the dad?
He was a dad in the last episode of the last season with the kid who killed his, best friend and the dad who covered it up. Isn't that the same person?
That is not the same guy.
Is that Jeff Dunham?
No.
He looks like Jeff Dunham.
So you...
He looks like somebody, like he was in something that we just recently
watched. Yeah, he looks like a nondescript white guy that's been in like 1,000 things, but it's definitely not the guy from last episode, and it's definitely not Jeff Dunham.
What's the name of this stupid show? Episode?
We've done like 300 episodes. What's the name of this stupid show?
What's the name of this stupid episode?
Das Boots.
Oh, that's right. Das Boots.
So this dude called the sex line to get one of these prostitutes, and he's saying, look, I'm a time waster. I call these people, and then I don't actually meet up with them. And they're all like, that doesn't really hold water. And he says, look, I don't know what you're talking about. I just waste time. And then he makes a comment that he might call in a lawyer, but he never does, which gets them suspicious. This woman, also a famous face, if you've seen the film Boat Trip like I have, because I was like, why do I know her face?
What's her name?
Oh, I don't remember. I just remember watching Boat Trip, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is insane. So bad.
The movie Boat Trip didn't knock it out of the park?
No. Boat Trip is unbelievably bad. There's also a scene where a woman pretends to give a blowjob to a banana, and they sculpted the banana to look like a dick. And you're like, what? What? So that was just a prostitute who got her charge taken away to say where one of the prostitutes who died went to meet a John, which happens to be the same place where the guy lives that they just brought in. That's all that was.
Yeah, he totally different guy.
Yeah, I know it was a different guy. I knew that the moment you asked. So I want to talk about how completely over the line this conversation is. He goes, Theo wants to see you. Theo wants to see you. You have a responsibility to him.
They have a conversation earlier where he kind of throws a fit and is like, you know, I don't want you to be in, start out in our lives and then you not be around because she had a date. And she's like, I'm always going to be in your guys' lives, blah, blah, blah. And then you know, now he's gone. She's gone. He has a point.
But I'm talking about her reaction where she's like, you gotta bring this up now? You gotta throw this in my face when I got a baby to take care of? And it's like, Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you what's going on.
What? Women being irrational? No.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh,
that's gotta come out. That's gotta get clipped.
Right to chop, baby.
Right to chop. So they have the women talk to him, and he sees right through it where he's like, oh, have the pretty women be nice to me. And
it's actually kind of great to see it backfire, because normally they always
it always works. Yeah.
Yeah, it always works. So at least this was interesting. And he's a decent
actor.
He's a decent creepy guy, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, he's a complete cock. Where I also love this, that Rita's like, yeah, good job. It was just an idea. He didn't ask you that you had to do it. He said it was just an idea. He has women problems. And guess what? You could tell he does. So
he basically said, I see what you're trying to do to get me. And oh, yeah, yeah. I saw from the name in the thing.
Marshala Ali.
Mahershala.
Mahershala?
I think it's Mahershala.
Mahershi's.
But his name in here is a lot longer.
Yeah. Mahershala Ali is the famous face. And I was like, God damn, he is doing this part from the moment he comes in. And I was like, I see why he's the dude he is now.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's a good actor. What's he been in recently that was good? Like, I'm being serious. I haven't seen him in anything in a while.
Continually trying to get Blade to happen?
And it happened, and they've already come out and said they're not doing it.
But
he did the Green Book.
He did do Green Book.
Which is white people trying to cure racism again.
But he did Moonlight. Hey, have we cured that yet? I would have thought we had that licked by now.
No, some would say it might have gotten a little worse, I think.
Interesting. But yeah, I hate what Medavoy and Jones do in this episode. Because they are essentially going, you did it, huh? You did it? So you did it. So you did it.
He's giving off a lot of like Lenny energy.
Oh, jeez.
He is. He does. He gives off this like, I'm not saying, you know, mentally challenged. More, it's more of this like shucks kind of energy. This like, not that he's like dumb, but he's not street smart. He's not.
It's also hilarious that they're like, wow, you seem really nervous. And it's like, why wouldn't he be fucking nervous? He's afraid of fucking police stations. It's not hard to figure out. Also, I feel like this woman does a great job because the situation she's in is bananas.
She probably, as an actress during that time, has lived that situation, so it was pretty easy for her to do the scene. And that's why she crushes it.
Because she's just like, look, the guy's a weirdo. Everyone told me to stay away, but I was nice to him because our cubicles were close, and then he turned into a real prick, and then we had to get our boss involved. You know, something that doesn't happen in every workplace everywhere, I'm sure. But,
Well, I mean, if any girl doesn't want to talk to me, she's a lesbian. I mean,
right? Even your dog was like, fuck off. If any girl doesn't want to talk to me, it's because she's a lesbian. Well, also, what I just love about this episode is he says, when they go back to him and bring her up, he goes, ask her about Jimmy Buffett tickets. And you're like, what? That's what you thought was going to get you laid, buddy? Margaritaville?
Margaritaville's gotten a lot of people laid, dude.
Yeah, not with anyone you want to lay. Maybe with a couple drinks in you.
Wow,
went to too many Margaritavilles in my life.
I'd rather make it with an actual parrot. That's a joke. We're joking.
Parrot?
So they basically tell the boss, like, it's our guy because he's so nervous. Not a good reason. And then his ex-wife shows up.
It's weird that she came to his work.
It's weird that she came to his work and brought his dad's money clip. And he's like, oh my gosh, you got me my dad's money clip.
But I smile weird and talk out of my mouth like a lunatic.
She does smile weird. I will agree to that. She looks, when she smiles, she looks like she got that Joker gas from the first Batman movie. You know what I'm talking about?
The
Smilex.
Oh my god, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, because it would pull your mouth and like twist
it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But I just... So, I sincerely was sitting here going, like, when this came out, were they literally like, oh, everybody in the world's going to think this guy did it, and it's going to be a huge shocker when it wasn't him? Because I'm sitting here going, like, it clearly wasn't him, and you guys are torturing this man.
Well, you say that now because you know the outcome. But when you first watched it, did you have that feeling? Because normally when they have the big name on there, the, like, guest star, you know what I mean? Like,
but he wasn't a big name when this came out.
Fair enough.
I think that they were literally setting it up. Because he also, Medavoy calls this woman, I think later in the episode, I think he's like, one of those bend over backwards liberal types. And it was like, oh, you mean a decent human being that didn't want you to railroad the wrong guy and trick him for no reason?
Medavoy definitely voted for Trump.
Oh, yeah. Medavoy voted for Trump and...
moved to Florida.
Medavoy voted for Trump and his daughters have given him facts and figures. Have you seen the film... or the film. Have you seen the podcast Unnecessary Conversation? Where this dude and his sister talk to his parents who are Trump supporters?
Oh, no.
It's bananas. It is unbelievable. But watching that, I was like, that's exactly what's happening with Medavoy and his daughters. Is they're like, Dad, fucking, come on.
See, and they trick him here, too.
They trick both of them.
That's not fair.
And all they said is, tell the truth. And he's like, I didn't do anything. They're such assholes, man. Did you black out again? He's like, maybe I blacked out. I don't remember doing this.
And what's crazy is they don't get him a lawyer. Or, like, they don't think... she doesn't think that I get a lawyer.
Nope. Speaking of railroading a guy that should have got a lawyer... it's one of the...
where is this going?
It's one of the storylines in It, Welcome to Derry. That shit is awesome. So fucking good. Such a great show. It's blowing my mind how good it is. But yeah, this part is fucked up where they're like, yeah, so he admitted to it. And she's like, you told me you had somebody else. And he's like, yeah, he just did. Anyway, later... And she's like, what the fuck? Like, he literally holds the door open for her. Like, yeah, get out. And she's like, was that a tactic to get him to confess to something? And he goes, no. And like, what the fuck are you, what? One of these liberal do-gooder types. And it's like, motherfucker, what? And this part, which... I was like, I wonder how many people were like, yep, Sipowicz is always right. because her friend had call girl sites up, and she was using it to
get... The best part is how pissed off Connie is that he's right. She gives a look that's like, oh, this fucking...
Well, she's like, you could say, I told you so if you want. I would say this. Another reason the show is kind of gone down the tubes. If this was earlier seasons with Simone, he would have said that over and over again. You would have found out by the end of the episode Sipowicz was wrong.
Yeah.
This one, it's like, nope, Sipowicz is right the whole time, like usual. And these two are like already high-fiving and counting it as a win, telling the lawyer about it. And then the boss goes, eh, blood types don't match. Oh, wrong blood type.
Yeah, call me when you figure it out, dummies.
And
yeah, because you were too busy just trying to get the conviction.
And that's what the thing that bothered me was, like, it felt like at least a part of it was just like, yeah, let's just get this over with. And now Sipowicz is ready to rough up this weirdo.
Well, because he used an escort service that the woman was on.
Also, I don't know why. I hate what this dude's wearing.
Tracksuits are cool on the East Coast, dude. You just don't know.
Is that a tracksuit?
No, it's a tracksuit top. It's a velvet tracksuit top.
It's bad.
Oh, it's a button-up. I'm sorry. I was thinking of those
guys. It looks like a tracksuit, but it isn't.
I was thinking about those guys from
It's Always Sunny.
Hey, yo!
Eating sandwiches?
Yeah.
Feather fingers. Feather hands.
Pussy hands.
Pussy hands.
Oh, like a tiger? It's like, no, like a cat. So Sipowicz is basically, he's gotten to the point where he's like, well, you fucked up somewhere. We just got to find it. And the guy's like, I don't care. Now they bring up the coworker, and he just can't help a bite about it. And isn't it interesting that this is like a preview of incel culture in this guy?
A little bit. Kind of calling it a little bit. Jimmy Buffett tickets.
Jimmy Buffett tickets, baby. $75 tickets, Kyle?
Back then, to see Jimmy Buffett is crazy.
$75?
Are you going to the Madison Square Garden? Like, what's up?
Floor? Was that the floor?
You want pit seats for Buffett because it gets crazy.
Yeah, are you at the floor?
So they bring in the maintenance man, who is the dude that raped and killed the woman.
Spoiler.
Well, it's...
You could let him get through the reading of the evidence, but spoiler.
Well, at the very beginning of the episode, they get the hit that, or they get the hint from a woman that he's a Lothario type, and is always hitting on the women in the building. But they don't pursue it because he says that one of the dudes is like the woman's boyfriend. And it was like, well, maybe if you leaned on him a little bit, maybe you would have found out he's lying. But then they get mad at him, like, we spent all day leaning on the wrong guy. And it's like, that sounds like your fault.
And then they just rip his shirt open. That's assault.
Well, they're choking him right now.
Well, yeah, he's about to kill him because he's mad at himself.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's wild.
Look, he did a little meth. And sometimes you do meth and you end up killing women because they were mean to you. You know, that happens.
But I mean, like... I mean, he did it in the laundry room.
What?
He did it in the laundry room, didn't he? Isn't that where they found her?
Yeah.
That's why, like, he comes in the back room, he just needs to get his rocks off. It's wild.
So, you're flabbergasted that he was just like...
But the whole thing.
In the laundry room. This is bonkers.
Yeah.
This would never happen.
This is like a jump the shark situation.
Where it's like, yeah, you go in and talk to the guy.
Hey, we need you to leave work. Why? We really need to have a conversation with you. Okay. We need you to talk to this guy that like probably wants to kill you.
And we're not going to tell you what we think he did.
Yeah.
Because she keeps asking, what did he do? And they're like, ah, that's not important. Go talk to him. And this whole thing of like, yeah, go in there and tell him you want him to apologize.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, okay, cool. Let's do it. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, you can't do this.
You can. Reluctantly.
Like you when you were younger.
What the fuck? What the fuck are you talking about? Well, that cord's now fucked. That one's now fucked. Stop touching it. Talking to it?
Is it bad now?
Yep, that cord's now fucked. But good thing we have it on a stand.
I didn't even touch it.
Well, Kyle, surprisingly, you break things without touching them.
Then that's not... That's just acts of God.
This part's great. You are such a loser, Reed. Also, I mean no offense by this. There's something weird about the name Reed. Just Reed as a first name?
Are you coming after Reeds?
How many Reeds do you know?
Five.
Name them.
Reed Shepherd.
Who's he?
Basketball player. Reed Stevenson.
Who?
Friend at work.
Is that true?
No.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't.
These are the two Reeds I know.
Yeah. I know
Lou
this.
Reed.
That's not a first name.
Reed Lou.
Now you're just being a dick. But yeah, they wait until she stirred him up and got him all pissed. And then he's like, yeah, so we think he killed two women. And then she's like, what the fuck?
And you brought me in the same room with him?
No, her first thought is like, did I cause him to kill the women? And it's like...
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's not her.
It could have been any woman. It just happens to be her, unfortunately. And that, but that hurt the instance with her is what drove him to be this. It was the last huge thing.
All right.
Is him.
So this is when they apologize to a guy for shitting on him all day. And they're like, look, you were accused of rape. And guys usually say they didn't do it. And he's like, I should have kept my faith. You guys are assholes. And this woman says something that they need to hear. You gave me your word.
She's right.
She's 100% right. And what's great is they leave the room. Honestly, as they leave the room, I feel like the boss and Baldwin are like, we fucked up. I think Medavoy left the room like, well, what a crazy day, guys.
Medavoy left the room and was like, well, I didn't like how she talked to me.
This is Medavoy talking, not me. He walked out of that room like, God, I guess someone's on their period, right, guys? So are we to understand, Kyle? They had a lunch date. She came over to bring the money clip, and then they had dinner.
Yep.
And then, spoiler alert, at the end of this episode, they bang in an empty apartment building.
And they hadn't spoken to each other in years.
That's speeding your story along quick.
That's Emmy Award-winning storytelling.
Previously Emmy Award-winning storytelling. Those writers are gone. And the actors who are doing those words are gone.
It's wild.
And this was, I remember watching this episode when I was watching it for the first time because I knew we were going to do these. I had not seen it in a while. And I was just like, all this happens in a day?
Right.
He goes from this lieutenant literally goes from, I don't know how you expect me to trust you. You're a cokehead and a liar. And you disappeared on me. He went from that to let's get naked and bone.
In an apartment that's neither of ours.
In about 12 hours.
Yeah.
12 hours. And, you know, I don't want to be crass.
Okay.
And I don't want to be, you know, too much. Where do they bang in there? Because there's no furniture. So it's just on the floor?
There's countertops. There's some built-ins, probably.
There's some built-in countertops?
Yeah. Maybe a windowsill somewhere. But it seems like they just go straight to the flow.
To the flow?
To the flow, to the flow.
She getting toe up from the flow
from
up.
From the flow up.
And this scene also absolutely boggled my mind. Because guess who's at the door of Sipowitz's place?
Without, like, a warning.
No call. No call ahead. And then, so, this is the first time Theo is seeing this baby.
Yeah, he's heard all about her.
So,
never met her.
They put the baby in his lap. And within a minute of looking at this picture, Sipowitz and Connie embrace or get close. It'd be better if we lived together.
I mean, they didn't hug each other. You're wrong. There's no embrace.
But she's like...
You're wrong. Can you admit to that?
Yeah, I was wrong.
Thanks.
But it's just like, oh, you can move into my place. I have two bedrooms. And then he's like, I'll talk to Theo. This is the same dude who couldn't move into Sylvia's.
Yes, but...
For like months.
Yeah, but if like he met Sylvia and then all of a sudden Sylvia had a baby they had to take care of and he realized them being together would be better, he would have done it.
I don't think that's the case. I think he has gone through a lot of growth real fast, and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, you did bring that up earlier.
Like, he just is so like, yeah, sounds like a great idea, when this dude was not like that at all very recently. Very recently.
Hey, people change, man.
Anyway, we're at the end of this episode. Das Boots. What are you thinking about Das Boots, Kyle?
There's some good character actors in it, but overall, I mean, it's on the downward.
It's on the downward.
It's on the decline.
The whole thing about leaning on a dude who didn't do it for all day and then finding out it wasn't him and being like, well, we made a mistake.
I don't know why everyone's so mad at me.
And then it was like, and like one of their biggest reasons, like, look, he's so scared in the police precinct. And it's like, people are allowed to be scared of cops. That's
allowed.
Yeah, I don't
think anyone who's ever like been in a police precinct has been like excited to be there. You know, for the most part.
I think like they keep showing people that are like, yeah, I'm willing to talk to the police. I'm willing to help out. I'm willing to tell you what happened. But like just the idea of like, well, he was scared. And it's like people could be scared in a police station.
Yeah,
that's allowed.
You can still be nervous or scared even offering information too. You know what I mean?
So like the fact that he's like, wow, he's really scared. He must have done it was just so asinine. And the whole creepy dude incel guy who ended up killing two sex workers. The way they get him to confess is just by bringing in a woman he harassed and not telling her why, and then triggering him to then figure out what happened and then telling her afterwards was just absolutely bananas. But yeah, Mahershala. I don't know how to say his name.
That's close.
But he was in this. Salvatore Xureb was the dude that was in several episodes beforehand. And that was Das Boots.
It was Das Horrible.
Thank you once again for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It's how people see it in their algorithms, and more importantly, they might start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. There's a couple of books out there if you just need more NYPD Blue in your life. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There is What Would Sipwitz Do?, a collection of articles about the show. There's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon. I believe that's still 99 cents. And then there are two in-universe stories by Max Allen Collins, Blue Bloods and Blue Beginnings. If you find them for a decent price, I would snag them up. They're not terrible, but they are kind of expensive. We have new episodes coming out every other Tuesday. We have basically no social media presence, but we're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast. Hope you have a good one. Be good to yourself. Be good to each other. Have a good time. Peace.